first, can you just describe what the cover looks like?
Well, it's the simplest thing you can imagine. It's simply her collar against a stark black background. When your eye zooms in, you realize that it's comprised entirely of the international symbol for women.
It's simple, but it is powerful, and it does take you a minute to realize that it's not just lace, that it is the symbol for women. How did you arrive at that image?
Once I heard the news, I immediately had the idea. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to take a walk. I'm going to go in the studio and finish the art and get it to New York right now. The moment I did the piece, I just said, every 200 other New Yorker cover artists are submitting the exact same thing because it's such an obvious idea. I mean, many of us illustrators will look at the ideas of our peers and will say, why the heck didn't I think of that? You know, it is one of those ideas. But I do think the power in it is that it really elevates the importance of the reader, in that you see the image, you see it as a collar, and it's like, okay, big deal, it's a collar, it's kind of nice. But it's only when you zoom into it and you reflect and you really focus on it that you then bring something to the table and say, oh my gosh, there's something far deeper here.
Do you often try to add that element into your work conscientiously, meaning bringing the reader in and using the reader's intelligence or just, you know, current affairs knowledge in the work that you do?
I certainly rely on an intelligent reader when I do my New Yorker covers. Those are the pieces that I try and keep as simple as possible, and I want them to work on a visceral level with the reader. That's the same thing that happened when Obama won the presidency. I did the cover showing the Lincoln Memorial glowing at night, reflecting on the reflection pool, and then the O in the New Yorker logo glowing like the moon. That was a piece that required the same thing. It really required the knowledge of the reader to bring to the table. And when you do that as an illustrator, it does give the reader some ownership in the idea.
These two covers are huge moments in history, and so it does really allow the reader to remember that we're all part of this moment in a way, because these are really influential people that have an impact on our lives.
Right. I've been kind of lucky because I have done a number of covers about big historical moments. The ones that are the most remembered are really the ones that I immediately came up with. I mean, just in a flash of inspiration, they came up. If I'm called on to do a New Yorker cover on any subject, I may sketch out 10, 12 different drawings, okay? Different sketches from different points of view. With the RBG cover, I immediately had it in my mind. I knew what it was. I didn't bother coming up with any more ideas because I thought, you know, this may be really good or it may be really bad. I don't really know, but I don't know if I can top this. It was very gratifying when I heard from David Remnick. He said he knew the moment that he saw it that it was, quote unquote, unsurpassable. That was very gratifying to me.
Do any of these moments or these covers feel personal to you?
Oh, well, this one certainly did. I had an unusual education in that I didn't take the normal route of what an illustrator would be schooled in. I interned at the Robert F. Kennedy Memorial in D.C. for the Student Press Law Center when I was in college. So I had some background in Supreme Court cases and things like this. And when I heard the news, I thought, what a vacuum that's going to leave RBG's passing. And I got downright sad.
The news of RBG's death was just a few weeks ago, but we're in this rather insane news cycle. And so now that news feels like a long time ago. And the top news is the president's illness. Does this fast-paced 2020 kind of news cycle, how does that affect your work in trying to get through some of the noise down to the essence of things like you do?
I thrive on that deadline. I mean, that's what I was trained to do. It's an artistic restriction put on the illustrator, okay? You only have a certain amount of time and you have to get this job done, okay? And I've done it so many times that when that opportunity comes up again, it's like, okay, different story, different facts, but we'll get this thing done.
We have a few more months left in 2020, and there are going to be some more big moments. Do you have any advice or perspective for listeners who may be feeling a little weary or a little overwhelmed by all of the headlines?
Boy, I don't know. As long as you're quarantining, why don't you go ahead and pick up a piece of paper and start doodling, and maybe you can submit a New Yorker cover? I really don't know. I think it's a frame of mind. This is a reality. We just get through it. And I'm very fortunate that I love my work. I do have real empathy for parents who are sending their kids back to school right now. Service workers, people who are furloughed, geez, my heart just goes out to them because this is a new normal.
Bob, thank you for taking just a few minutes to talk with us about your work, and stay healthy.
Thanks so much, Catherine. I appreciate it.